All Ye Our Brethren, circa 1901. We are all of one family, with one Father in heaven, and mutual obligations and dependence. We are each one connected with our fellow men, and all bound up with God. Individually, we are a part of the web of humanity, a part of the Lord's great whole. No one can be independent of his fellow man. The well-being of each affects the other, who in turn carries his influence to still others. It is God's design that each individual shall stand so related to his fellow man that he shall feel himself pledged to promote the happiness of each member of the family of God, feel himself necessary to the other's welfare. Thus influence becomes an endless chain. Christ came to our world to make manifest that man, through divine efficiency, may become a member of the family in heaven. He demonstrated this to them as he taught in parables and in his life practice. He sought to lead his disciples to learn of him, to be meek and lowly in heart, to wear his yoke and lift his burdens. For in doing this, the rest and peace and happiness of heaven would be theirs. This would be ever drawing them heavenward, and by this alone could they present to the fallen world a copy of heaven. But Satan is working to break up the harmony that should exist between man and his fellow man, and thus create disunion. The subtle, satanic influence of selfishness is brought into the various lines of work under some pretense of necessity. Notwithstanding all the reasoning on this point, it is made to appear as something needful, when it is not at all needful, and, if admitted, will displease God and corrupt the experience of every soul whose perceptions are so dimmed by the policy of the world that they cannot discern this hateful, poisonous root that, springing up, will defile the whole man. The lives of such reveal that the human, far more than the divine, is ruling their actions. This is where our principal institutions have become more or less corrupted. The selfishness with which it is Satan's studied plan to imbue humanity should be regarded as the hateful thing it is. He is working in every publishing establishment to separate interests, and if possible, to nourish the spirit of rivalry. By this means, he would bring into the work the principles that God hates. If the Lord is regarded as the great center, a close connection will exist between every line of work. The interest is one. There should be no division, no perilous rivalry, but a mutual connection and dependence, a reciprocal influence. Every word that is spoken, every act that is performed, should be without one grain of selfishness. Everything we do has a train of influence which, when divested of selfishness, will produce a harmony akin to the harmony of heaven. All heaven is watching with interest to see who will practice most earnestly and decidedly the virtues of Christ. Those who approach most closely to the mind of Christ cause joy among the angels of heaven. The training of different peculiar traits of character needs daily to be brought under the molding influence of the Spirit of God, that every portion of the character may be transformed. Then, every relation sustained by man to his fellow man will be constantly transmitting a vital current of influence. If every worker, together with God, will be a center and will connect himself with other individuals, they also may radiate to the world the beams of righteousness received from the great center, and in receiving and diffusing that light, a heavenly influence will surround the soul. Christ, be thou our pattern, should be inscribed in memory's halls and written on every heart. The life of Christ was a representation of God, an ever-widening, shoreless influence which bound him to God and to the whole human family. In him was given the mightiest element that could be bestowed upon the human race. Then, if God through his Son has vested man with such an influence that he cannot live into himself, cannot stay in selfish lines, if everyone is united with his fellow worker to merge his interests in forwarding the work of God in the little as well as the larger interests, no one is to say, "You cannot come on my part of the field." The field is the world. The divine influence with which God has invested the work needs no separate distinctions or verbal restrictions. Each branch of the true vine is separate and distinct, yet bound together in the parent stalk. There can be no division, no diversity. They are linked together by His will to bear fruit wherever they find place and opportunity. But in order to do this, self must be hidden. The worker is not to give expression to his own mind and will. He is to express the will of Jesus Christ. He is to refrain from forbidding others to do this or that, and sow the seed which will express the word of God to others. Not a particle of glory is to be given to any one worker. God is our efficiency. A Paul may plant, an Apollos water, but God alone can give the increase. Any influence received from God links the human agent to God by the strongest pledge that he will work for the glory of God. This necessarily links him with humanity. The Holy Spirit must act upon his mind, and under this hallowed influence, humanity may become a partaker of the divine nature. This vital connection with Christ will work to restore the image of God in man.